that you have never thought about the fact that toxic free living and vintage fashion share some common ground in several meaningful ways. We're going to talk about that today. Most of us want to express our individuality. We want to be different. We want to be seen as unique. And vintage fashion can play a huge role in making that happen for you. So let's jump into today's episode and learn a little bit more about how vintage fashion and toxic free living can coalesce. Hi friends, welcome to Start Living Sustainable. I'm your host, Cynthia Harvey Brown. In this podcast, I'm going to help you discover sustainable ways to improve your overall health and well-being in your home. And I'm going to show you how to do this without spending a lot of time or money, all in partnership with God. Yes, if you're ready to show yourself some love, experience a new level of wellness, build faith, and align your values with God's vision for your life, then you're in the right place. Pour out the diet soda, and we should talk about those yoga pants. Let's have some serious fun in today's episode. Is a game changer, and the benefits of living a non-toxic lifestyle for you seeking to significantly boost your health and get on a wellness journey this year. It's not too late. You can achieve those goals, and you would be surprised to find that getting rid of toxins in different areas in your home can really make a difference in the way you feel. So go ahead and book your 1 hour session with me. The link is below, and I will see you on the other side of the fatigue, the stress, and the lack of being able to get a good night's sleep. You will see some of those symptoms disappear after a week of eliminating toxins. Let's get you started on a toxic free home so that it can improve and boost your health, not only for you, but for your family as well. Book your session with me today. You'll find the link below, and I look forward to talking to you. Now let's jump into today's episode. Welcome to Start Living Sustainable. I am so glad you're here because I have a special guest with me today. Her name is Jenna Koch, and I say V-Style. She is a vintage stylist and the founder of her own fashion styling brand. Interesting topics, and especially as vintage relates to sustainability and why vintage is so important for those of you who are interested in living a detox life. Jenna, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you for inviting me to be a part of your podcast, Cynthia. I appreciate this opportunity. I have been in fashion for over 25 years now, you know, half of my adult life. I got my start at Nordstrom, like many other people. I was a manager there, which really taught me about clienteling and fabrication and dressing in three pieces and just the fundamentals of fashion. And then from there, I went to work in the wholesale industry and I didn't like it. I always knew that I had an entrepreneurial bug and I didn't know what that was. And so I started a handbag line. Life happens and I stopped designing handbags because production and all of that, just insane. So I switched to doing wardrobe consulting. But simultaneously, while I was becoming a wardrobe consultant, I also developed a habit of shopping vintage. And it all is full circle because that habit comes from, I started to do repurposing of handbags before I actually found a manufacturer to design my own line of handbags. So it just came from a place of just having to be resourceful. And I just grew from there and just being able to find unique pieces that you cannot get on the market anywhere. About 95% of my wardrobe at this point is mostly vintage and used clothing.
Well, that says a lot about your passion for vintage clothing. I relate to that, Jenna, because I remember growing up, my mother would take me to thrift stores
This would be a good time for you to explain to the listeners what's truly vintage versus thrifting.
Yes, they're used in simultaneously and interchangeably, but vintage is anything that is 20 years or older. The rage in vintage right now is called Y2K fashion,
Oh.
whereas used is anything that's on the second market. So it's already been through the manufacturing process, it's already gone through the traditional retail cycle, someone already owned it. And you can acquire that from mostly like a thrift store. A thrift store is really in the business of selling used clothing, whereas a vintage store tends to sell items that are 20 years or older.
Okay. That's key because different eras brought about different fashion and changes in those eras. So 20 years or more would be considered vintage. Now,
Yes.
I do know that polyester material was invented in the 60s.
Materials do not really indicate if it's vintage or not. Clothing that was made by 100% polyester, it tends not to have probably lasted on the second market, or you can see the quality and it just not being that great. It was really introduced to lower production cost, as opposed to like using a natural material like silk or using like a silk blend. So traditionally, polyester clothing was made, the construction was great, but the fabrication wasn't that great. And that would be considered fast fashion back then. So you would find that like at Sears, or I'm going to date myself, like Montgomery Ward. You know, those were like the originators of what we consider fast fashion because it had to do with subpar manufacturing
And
and
lower
quality.
price points.
And most definitely in a lower price point, right? So even if it is polyester, it can still be considered vintage, but the construction of that garment will not hold the same weight. It will be better as opposed to something that is manufactured with polyester today because the garment construction is just not that great.
Both of us have been in the fashion industry for some years now. There have been quite a few changes over the years, and vintage clothing have become really, really popular among millennials now. I don't know if it's because they are really intentional when looking for a vintage piece. I think people appreciated the craftsmanship and the quality of clothes and the fact that they still are around and still look good compared to fast fashion, which doesn't hold up.
Yeah, Gen Z has risen in the information age, right? They are the first generation to not be without the internet. I am a first generation millennial, as I like to say. Like, millennial begins with me. I'm like the original millennial. And I think it has a lot to do with just the ability to get a piece that does not exist anymore. Like, you're the only person who's going to wear that item. So it's really carving out your individual identity within this piece. And you create your own style identity, right? Versus you going to, you know, I'm not even going to mention those fast fashion. You know who they are, right? And you're one of thousands, if not millions of people who was seeing an advertisement for that jacket. You don't know how many other people are going to order that. You go to an event or to a restaurant where you're co-mingling with people who are within your age demographic, someone may show up with that jacket. But if you buy vintage, you're not going to see anyone with that. And then it's a conversation starter because of the garment, the construction, the fabrication, the colors, the prints. It is something that can really tell that person who you are by just that garment.
That really does help you express your uniqueness and your
Yes.
individuality. So even mixing and matching pieces together, say a vintage piece with something that's classic, can really create a look that you uniquely yours.
That's literally how I develop my own personal style. It's vintage pieces. Like, this is a vintage jacket from Judy's. Do you remember Judy's?
Yes, I do.
I thrifted this, but it's vintage, right? Because it's from the 90s. You can tell by the construction of,
Shoulder.
right, of the shoulders, right? You don't, this type of construction of this, you know the name better than I do because I'm not a designer, but
It's a
of the
box pleat.
box pleat. See, I was going to say pintuck, but box pleat, right? This is extra cost in the production. So you will not see this on the market at the price that I paid for this thrifting.
Okay.
You would find this at a luxury retailer. You know, my thing is mix luxury with vintage and resale because luxury is an investment. You have to be more intentional about buying a luxury item. You know you're going to have it within your closet. It really keeps you from creating a cycle of waste, of
Absolutely.
cycling in and out of your closet when you are more intentional with your purchasing.
And Jenna, I think too that if for anyone that's interested in getting started with vintage wear and they're really not sure what is truly vintage, maybe you just want to look in your mom or your grandmother's closet to find some really wonderful gems in there. My grandmother gave me some wonderful pieces, and that kind of got me started on wearing vintage wear because you appreciate these pieces. They have a story behind them, right? So, connection to a piece really does make a difference, it seems, opposed to just buying something from a fast fashion store that is going to fall apart after a few wears, and it's designed that way on purpose, than to cherish something that really means something to you and a family member.
Absolutely. Like you are now incorporating the memories of that garment into your life, right? So, my Aunt Kay in New York, she retired as a librarian. She was into Halston, right? Willie Smith, like those were her brands that she purchased. And it tells the story of her working as a librarian, I believe the head librarian at the Bronx Library, right? The experiences that she went through, I can see that in those garments, in those like silk shells. And then I watched Dynasty. I'm like, that's something that my aunt would wear, right? Because she was working during that same time period before she retired. So it tells the story of a person's life, right? And that's what's so amazing. When I go to particularly to a vintage shop, and I see a cocktail dress, I'm just envisioning the fabulous la lady who wore this and the shoes she might have paired it with and the jewels that she might have paired it with. And now I'm taking that and I'm incorporating my own life story within that garment.
So that garment continues to live and have life.
Right.
And the great thing about it, again, I can't stress it enough, is that those pieces can become family heirlooms because they're so well made, they're going to last for generations after generation. So, Jenna, tell me about sizing. I know that the woman's body has changed over time. How would someone, for instance, that's purchasing something online, determine whether or not it's going to fit them if it's something that was made years ago?
Most resellers, well, vintage resellers, they will include the measurements of that garment and they will measure it flats and they'll give an estimate of what that size was. The interesting thing is that, yes, people were smaller, but women wore shapewear. So you wore a girdle, you wore a hosiery, you wore things that would cinch in your waist. You just didn't put that garment on without shapewear. So some of those vintage items are meant to be worn with shapewear so that they lay a certain way on the body. Yes. And then sizing is also different. So the equivalent of a size 10 in a vintage garment that's made before 1980 would be the today's equivalent of a size 2, size 4.
So that's really important to know. Women should know their measurements. Let's talk a little bit about the fact most clothes that were made before the 1960s were made out of natural material, like linen, wool, silk, and cottons. Now, those materials are even more valuable, although there are so many synthetic materials in the marketplace today, with chemicals that can be absorbed into your skin and affect women's hormonal imbalances. It's important to know that a lot of vintage wear was made out of natural materials, which is always your best bet.
Always your best bet. You know, sitting around in yoga pants, like it's polyester, workout clothing before the advent of athleisure wear, and which is in recent history, was cotton. It was made to be breathable. It wasn't made because polyester, you don't see the sweat, right? So it's more of an aesthetic thing, like I want to look like I'm not sweating. Well, you're running, you're doing yoga. You know, you're playing golf. You're supposed to show signs of you sweating. That's the way that the body cools itself down. So all of that is now trapped Right. It's going to go somewhere. And honestly, if you really perspire in a polyester garment and it's not really meant to be washed on hot water, that smell never goes away. So
It's trapped in the
it's trapped.
material. So it's key that women realize that there are alternatives. Yes, we have changed. We're modern women now. We work out just like they did before. But instead of wearing polyester synthetic yoga pants, they do make bamboo yoga pants, and that's a natural material. So you can find alternatives that are healthier, something that women years ago didn't have to worry about with the clothes that they wore, nor did they have to worry about the treatments or finishes that are placed on the synthetic fabrics and even some of the natural fabrics today, including the dyes that can all actually be absorbed into our bodies. Our skin is the largest organ on our body. So yes, it's okay to sweat. That's part of being human. I just thought it was really interesting that you mentioned how we care more about the outside than we do what's going on the inside. And I think that's something that can be detrimental to us. We should be concerned about not only how we look on the outside, but how the clothes we're wearing may be affecting us on the inside as well.
Right. It goes back to why the average consumer is not educated on garment construction and fabrication. And it has a lot to do with your values. Are you building a wardrobe to sustain you that you can possibly pass on some pieces to a close family member or close friends so that they have more than a one-use cycle? Or are you purchasing clothing just to be immortalized for a picture? It takes a lot of time to consider the fabrics that you're putting on your body, right? And where you're going to shop. It's very easy to just, oh, I like that. Let me click on this link and it's going to come within 3 days versus going to a vintage shop or to a thrift store, which a thrift store, you have to search through tons and
Right.
tons of
It
things.
takes.
It takes lots of time. I mean, personally, I spend up to 4 hours in one thrift store because for me it's all about the hunt. It's going in with the idea that I have no idea what I'm going to find, and I love that. Versus vintage shopping, it's already curated for you.
Exactly. Exactly. I love the fact that when you have an open mind and you really are looking for something that speaks to you, it's nice to be able to go through a vintage store or a thrift store for that matter and just take the time to look for something that is interesting. And they do sometimes still have labels in them. So you can look at the label, read the label, and see what the content of the materials are so that you can make decisions as well. Because shopping vintage, it's very intentional. It's not haphazard.
Yeah, and you'll find better qualities. I've had clients who said, I can't wear wool. Like, I cannot wear wool. I'm like, well, that's because you were buying your wool product from an inferior brand, right? They're sourcing their wool not from a great resource. So let me introduce you to this wool from this particular brand that I have found on the secondhand market, right? Or this wool that's from, Saks Fifth Avenue or Neiman Marcus or Bonwit Teller when they would produce their own cashmere or their own line of wool. And that was their brand at stake, right? They were going to put their label on an inferior product.
Although it can be interesting, and you're right, there's some wool items that I can wear and it doesn't affect my skin. And then there's other wool pieces that I've worn or fabrics that I've purchased and made something from, and it really irritates my skin. And sometimes it's not just the wool, but it could be the finish, the treatment that they put on the wool, because most fabrics have some kind of wrinkle resistant or stain resistant on it, especially the newer items. And so oftentimes I tell my listeners, if you can wash a garment before you wear it, I don't care if it's brand new, or especially if you get it from the vintage store, you want to pay attention to any spots or stains on it that may or may not come out. But you always want to clean a garment in a natural way, whether it's washing it and then hang drying it, or going to a cleaners that use eco-friendly products, and perhaps that wool garment will not affect you.
I recently I thrifted this leather vest and it was never worn. I know it's from the 70s by the label. Never worn. And it's as stiff as a board. Like it just, I look like the little tin man when I put it on. But the more I wear it, the more it molds to my body. Like that was the purpose of clothing. It's supposed to conform to you versus you purchasing it and it's already conformed and it's falling apart and it's creating wrinkles by the more times that you wear it, right? So it's with wool, it can be a little bit more challenging. I have eczema and I speak from personal experience. Some fabrics that can be more abrasive are very irritating, but I have found that there are certain brands and there are certain ways of washing it to really comb down that hair.
Let's talk about the care and the maintenance, especially of a vintage piece. So, what are some of the tips that you can give listeners who have a piece and they're really careful about it? How would they clean and maintain that piece over time?
Yes, one of the things to look for when you're purchasing vintage is if it's a surface stain. If you really love something, you found it thrift at a vintage store, we'll usually curate it and make sure it's not stained. But nonetheless, you would want to soak it in a solution of woolite and OxyClean. And like soak it to just release any of the allergens from dust mites, any type of toxins, anything that it may come in co contact with. Because vintage clothing can, it can sit in someone's garage for, a decade
Years.
or two, right? Right. And now it's just, and now someone just, oh, we found this. We're clearing out grandma's garage and we found this really cool blouse, but we have no use for it. So they donate it. And then now that thrift store has it hung up on the rack. So you don't know where it's been and who it's been on, right? So it's really good to clean those products. And just treat them delicately. But the fact that they have lasted for this long is an indicator that they're not as delicate as you think that they are, so to speak. I would not just throw it into your wash on the regular setting of your washer, but really take some time to soak it. And then once you wear it for the first time and you get some stains on it, or it just needs to be freshened up, just wash it on the delicate cycle and hang it to dry. Actually, hanging most of your clothing to dry is the best bet,
I agree. I totally agree with that. I do that myself. So we're going to wrap this up because although we could talk for hours more,
Hours.
I just want to remind my listeners that if they are interested in vintage pieces or if they are interested in asking questions about the vintage market, Jenna, tell them how they can reach you.
Oh, they can reach me. I have curated a lovely collection of vintage clothing that ranges from mid-century to Y2K, and it is available for purchase by appointment only. And you can contact me via my website, which is janacokestyle.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Jenna, for being here today. I am excited about vintage, and I hope my listeners are as well.
Yes, thank you, Cynthia. This was a lot of fun.
You are so welcome.
As I recap this episode, and I'm just delighted that Jenna came here to share some of her knowledge on vintage wear, I want to point out that in many ways, toxic free living and vintage fashion share some common ground in meaningful ways. You see, they both have this holistic approach to sustainability, health, and believe it or not, ethical consumption. Vintage clothing, by virtue of its age, is often free from the chemicals that we're always trying to avoid in any shape, fashion, or form. It reduces the demand for new clothing production, which is often resource intensive and polluting. The fashion industry, unfortunately, is significant in terms of its source as a polluter in many different ways, which I can talk about more in upcoming episodes. But remember that vintage items, they are often made in higher quality materials. That's why they're still around. The craftsmanship compared to today's fashion is far superior. These clothes will be around year after year, and that promotes this circular economy, which means that piece is going to be valued more so than any piece that you can buy brand new today. And both toxic free living and vintage fashion advocates for mindful consumption and a way of thinking. So choosing vintage, you will oftentimes be very deliberate about the purchase, as we said earlier, and you want to seek those pieces that express your personal style, but also align with your values of health and stewardship. And it supports your local economy because you're buying something in your community. When you're out shopping the next time and you're looking at a vintage piece, just know that you are supporting sustainability. So I encourage you to consider the broader impact of these lifestyle choices, including the clothes that you choose to wear. So if you're ready to take that step towards a non-toxic lifestyle, click the link below, schedule your appointment with me. Let's talk about how we can get rid of toxins that are actually affecting your health adversely. It's time to make those changes within your home. Get rid of toxins that can actually make you sick and may be affecting the way you feel. It's important to know that symptoms that come up sometimes that you don't even connect or associate with toxins, chemicals, pesticides, and allergens in your home that need to be eliminated. So let's book a session. Let's get you started on a toxic-free home so that it can improve and boost your health, not only for you, but for your family as well. Thank you so much for spending your time with me and Jana here today. I look forward to our next episode. See you next week. Thank you for joining me here today at Start Living Sustainable. Please take a moment and head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That really lights me up. If you were encouraged or blessed in any way, show your love and share the episode link with someone that you know that may benefit. Thank you so much, and until next time, God bless you, sis.